Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show on the American Tech Network. I am Jeff Gamet. I am your host, and I am so glad to be here today with our international panel, because now that we are the American Tech Network, we like to have this international feel. So let's just introduce everyone, and we'll start. Well, I guess we'll start with an American. Chuck, how are you today?
I'm good, Jeff. I'm proud to be an American. Good to be here as things transition a little bit. Congratulations on hosting the new show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And Patrice, how are you today?
I'm doing really well. I've had a great day. I mean, you can imagine a lot of work, like getting everything ready for the launch and so on. But I'm so proud that finally the flag behind me like fits the network. So I'm good.
It does. Yeah. And thank you for all the extra work that you put in to help us make the transition possible. You rock.
Yeah, it was like it was fun. I mean, coming up with the logo and everything, it was a good challenge.
Yeah, and I think it turned out great. So thank you. And our token Brit, Callum, how are you?
Well, I'm not very happy, but we're not going to go into that there.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, but brilliant, yeah.
Just wait till we bring our healthcare to you.
Well, look forward to it. yeah, but I'm the last holdout, so there's going to be no movement from the.
The cool thing is now, like now that we're the American Tech Network, we can have foreign correspondents. Like you, like reporting right in from the UK. Like, this is awesome. Oh, yeah.
That's right. Callum O'Hara on location in the UK.
The view from across the pond. That's what we'll call it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Love it.
Love it. Dave, how are you doing today?
Oh, I am proud to be part of the American Tech Network. Thank you for having me. And this is just an amazing day. It really is. We're just be proud to be American. Yes.
Hashtag America.
Yeah. It made sense. I mean, we've been, dominant players on the network for a while now. So it was just a natural transition.
Yeah.
Totally.
But yeah. We should thank our founder, Ewan Ranker, for,
Ranker,
For what he has done to get us to this point.
That's absolutely true. Yeah, we wouldn't be here without Ewan's hard work and dedication.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, we had to have a Boulder Tea Party to get to this point, but it doesn't mean that our British roots aren't there yet still, right?
That's true. Yep. And we do appreciate our British roots. We should just...
Bloody well said. Patrice. Nice.
All right. Well, let's just hop into some stories. All right. So this the first story. This actually comes from Bloomberg. So since Mark Gurman's there, we have some credibility going on. iPhone 14 is going to be a modular phone, and
I know it.
Finally. And what Apple is doing with the modular part, it's similar to what they did with the Mac Studio, where they called that modular, but it's not exactly modular. It's just like you can put your own screen on. But instead of playing with the screen on the new iPhone, it's going to be the cameras. So you buy your iPhone and you can choose a 12 megapixel or a 48 megapixel camera, but they're swappable. So if you get the 12 now and want the 48 later, you can pop the lens module out and put the new one in. And this is part of what's accounting for the rumors that it's a thicker bump on the back of the phone. And apparently Apple is going to do the same thing with these camera modules that they've done with Apple Watch bands, where it doesn't change size between models. So when you get your iPhone 15 or iPhone 16, if you already have your 48 megapixel camera module, you don't need to buy a new one. You just pop it out from your previous iPhone and pop it into the new one. And I'm curious what all of you think about this.
I mean, it's a great idea. I was thinking, like, when you started talking about it, I was thinking, like, modular, like, in the same way that you can replace the SSD in a Mac Studio, where, like, you have to go to Apple and Apple has to do it. But no, I mean, if it's fully replaceable, like, as you said, and you can just switch it out, I mean, who's to say there might be a third-party market where you can get, like, crazy lenses and chips and so on, and like you just carry around, like, you know, we all have this little bag with the dongles, and we're just gonna have a second bag with all the lenses, and you just switch them out as you need them.
Oh, that's cool. I hadn't even thought about that. Do you remember Oloclip? Mm-hmm. And how you used to be able to buy the clip-on lenses?
Yeah,
and they went on hiatus when the pandemic started.
Mm.
Maybe this would be an opportunity for them to get back into the business and start making customized lenses.
Well, you said they went onto hiatus. Maybe they were bought by Apple.
Holy crap.
Oh my God.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, that's totally, that's plausible. And then instead of just changing the website just to keep competitors off their tail, they just left it as hiatus.
Yeah, probably.
Huh.
Well, before this, I know that the folks at Moment make some great lenses, external lenses with the right case, with their case, so that you can have zooms or wides or fisheyes or whatever. And I'm anxious to see what they will do with this, because now everything becomes interchangeable. So as Patrice said, you know, they can do pretty much anything they want, since there will be, you know, this kind of nice little easy to use drop in and out.
I mean, the only thing we need probably, but that might be announced at WWDC then, is like a lens kit or something, right?
Oh, sure.
Camera kit, lens kit, something like that.
Yeah. Okay. So what I'm visualizing now that you said lens kit is Apple positioning the new iPhone as a camera back, essentially, because it's the sensor part and the display at that point. And then third parties can make all of these different types of lenses. So why not make lenses that are focused on professional video and professional photographers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's a good idea.
Jeff, I can also see, like, you know, as these things become really popular to accessorize your iPhone, just like a baldric, sort of like Worf wears on Star Trek: The Next Generation, that would just have components or places to put your lenses or your attachments or whatever.
A lens so you can just easier.
Yeah, just so you could swap them in and out very quickly. I think that would be a terrific accessory to this.
And do you guys remember the, what was it called? The FLIR? The thermal camera?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I actually have one back in the Hobbit closet.
They use one in the office.
Yeah, they could do that.
Yeah, they could. Yeah.
Which could anything make this that takes a photo or video still, like any sensor that you could put there.
And this could be, I mean, if they were to do that, this could become a great cooking accessory, because then you would know exactly the temperature of mm-hmm. whatever it is you're cooking.
That's true.
I think as well, why stop there with it? You know, if you're willing to have a camera that's interchangeable, why not have a screen or a charger port? You might want to USB-C one week or a Lightning the other week, or, you know, and it could really help. No, but it could really help them with the right to repair as well. If you've just got a modular screen, you can take off and pop a new one.
That's true. What was the name? I think was it the phone or a laptop? There was a module from a third party. There was a modular. I think it was a phone.
I don't think it ever came to market.
Okay.
But yeah. I remember what you're talking about. And the idea was you get it's sort of like a phone sled. So it's mm-hmm. the bare components of a phone, and it ran Android. And then you'd get the modules. Maybe I can't remember. I think it was a Motorola thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd get the modules, plug them all together to make a phone that has the physical features that you need, and then you can swap them out.
Which sounded cool,
but I just didn't see that as a viable product.
And I don't think that's an Apple thing. I think the cameras might be as far as Apple would go.
Yeah. I think you're right. Now, I do like the idea of swappable displays, but I think it would make the phone thicker. Mm. And while Apple's been okay adding a little bit of thickness, I don't think they would want to add that much.
And then you drop your phone and instead of the screen breaking, it just
falls apart. And then it's like a BlackBerry and pieces fly everywhere. Yeah. Gurman's...
Self-destructing phone.
Right. Yeah, Gurman's report doesn't say anything about which models of iPhone this would be on. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming it's the Pro. Mm-hmm. But now I'm wondering, because of, you know, there's like little mechanical bits to hold the lens module in place. Is this going to be iPhone Pro and Pro Max or just a Pro Max thing?
I would say both Pro models, to be honest. Because, I mean, Apple doesn't, like, other than size and, like, a little bit battery life, Apple doesn't seem to like to differentiate them. And, I mean, really, there's no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think there's enough space in both phones. They're both relatively big, so that we could do that.
Right. Poor Magic Man in the chat room has been popping in and out, having trouble. Yes, Magic Man, you're back. We're great to have you back.
That might be the connection to the US, like from the UK.
That could be because the servers moved location.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I Patrice, I like to think that you're right on the camera module being on the Pro and Pro Max. But my concern is having latches or some sort of connection mechanism that is reliable enough that if you drop the phone, the lenses don't pop out. So really strong magnets.
Well, that's what Apple does. I mean, look at MagSafe.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. In the chat room, I don't know how to pronounce your name. PHNuff? FNuff?
FNuff?
Yeah. I like FNuff. I think that sounds kind of cool. Likes Callum's idea of swappable screens. Or at least points out Callum's idea, saying that if you could swap out the screens, it would put a lot of small businesses out of work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, just imagine you drop your phone, the screen breaks, but you have like three replacements at home.
You can swap it. Quick swap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can get them on Amazon next day. You just whack it on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or they're at iMac Max.
On the other hand, having Callum replace your screen, even just to swap it in and out easily, could become a status symbol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have a Callum screen. With like a sticker on it. Like this, this screen was swapped in by Callum.
A t-shirt. My screen was replaced by Callum.
By the last surviving British person on the American Tech Network.
Exactly.
Going extinct. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Joe might not like the reduction in labor costs, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It comes with the territory. It's all right. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, you can do more screens a week then. So
that's true. Yeah.
Win-win.
Yeah. That's how that works.
Yep. And now I'm wondering, because there's nothing in Gurman's article about costs. And I'm wondering how much these lenses are going to cost. Like if you buy your iPhone with a 12 megapixel lens and then later on decide you want to get the 48 megapixel, like how much is it going to cost you? I guess a better question would be, what would you be willing to pay to add a 48 megapixel camera to your iPhone?
At least $599. Like, as I said, it's always more than you think. So it's probably $999.
I was thinking $899, So I guess I'm in your ballpark on that.
Let's wait. I mean, we still have until September to see what changes. Like Apple might do a last minute change and drop the idea, as always.
Okay. That's true. It's at this point, it is still a rumor, but I kind of like it.
Me too.
Yeah. All right. Next story. Mm-hmm. Unless anyone really has something that they feel they need to add to the camera thing.
We covered it well.
Okay. Next story. This one comes from Car and Driver, which is not typically known for Apple content, but in this case, it makes sense. They have insider report that Apple is selling their autonomous car project division to Hyundai. And this one I'm having a little bit of trouble with, but you know, supposedly it's a credible source. So what they're saying is that the rumors that Apple had been planning on partnering with Hyundai from a couple years ago were actually correct, but Apple's development cycle for the car project has been taking much longer than they had anticipated, and ultimately costing more money than they feel like spending. And so Apple has decided that they will sell that entire autonomous car project to Hyundai. And so Hyundai is going to take it over, and it will be Hyundai software and Hyundai sensors and just a whole Hyundai automated car.
It's really funny. There's something in the water these days. I got just today an announcement from my company that we would be doing autonomous cars. I mean, you know, we're like a medical healthcare software company. But yeah, apparently someone really liked autonomous cars, and because everybody's doing it, we decided to do it as well. So here's another example. Like Apple is doing that too.
Yeah, Apple doing the autonomous car thing, it made sense because, like you said, everyone's beginning getting into it. And for Apple, the knowledge that they've been able to amass from working on AI related to autonomous vehicles, they're still going to be able to apply that in other places. So I think we'll be seeing more AI features coming to the iPhone and iPad, and also to the Mac.
Maybe your iPhone will have wheels and drive itself.
It just might.
I don't know.
Yeah. So yeah, what do you think?
I was just a little. I'm not sure that I can buy this. You know, it just Hyundai doesn't.
Well,
seem
you can
to be. With, thanks. Yeah, Jeff just spit his drink all over the place. No, I just that just doesn't seem the right fit. I mean, Apple and Porsche, Apple and Ferrari, but you know, Apple and Hyundai just doesn't seem to have the right ring to it. So I'm a bit skeptical of this, since it's not confirmed yet.
Well,
I actually disagree with that. So I think if you look at some of the electric vehicles that are doing at the moment, they're actually quite sort of futuristic and sleek, and I think they really fit in with Apple's brand and image. So I think it's a really good match, and I think they'll really go places with it.
Yeah, Hyundai has been working on EV technology for a while.
Yeah, they have a new EV that they introduced this fall.
Yeah, a lot of them actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, as I said, we know everybody and their grandma is looking into autonomous cars, and I'm pretty sure, like, if Apple has decided it's not something they want to do, like they thought they wanted, and now it's not, I'm pretty sure like Hyundai is more than happy to take that.
Sure, I mean for Hyundai, they're buying the time and experience instead of having to start from scratch on their own. So I can see where that could be a good investment for them. And and if they've been working with Apple on the autonomous car project throughout this process anyhow, then it's just a nice fit.
I hadn't thought about it exactly that way. I was thinking more of the prestige angle, but that does make a lot more sense than I thought it did. Good point, Cal.
So, Patrice, I'm kind of interested about the market shift that your company is making.
Well, yeah. As I said, we're optimizing, like we're going into autonomous cars from what I've heard. I mean, it's like not coming from me. I didn't announce that. But like we're like the idea seems to be to like optimize the car to hospital pipeline. You know, like a lot of people die on streets, but the number has been going down, and that's bad business for hospitals. So yeah, like someone in our company decided. I mean, we have like our founder is like a really car enthusiast that has a lot of old cars, new cars, and so I think it was just natural to say, well, I mean, everybody is doing autonomous cars, so why not we? Yeah, totally, 100%. So as I said, it just made sense, and I mean, we're gonna increase, as I said, like return on investment on the healthcare side and get a new like new business area. So. It's like win-win, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. All right. So on the Apple Hyundai deal, I'm curious, if Apple were to make an autonomous car, how likely would you be interested in buying it versus if Hyundai made it, and you know it was made based on Apple technology?
Yeah, I mean, it would add some brand updates, I guess. Hyundai has a good reputation for having good cars, mm-hmm. but having Apple as a partner is definitely a good thing that Hyundai's doing.
So the question would be: would Apple still be on the like advertisement? Would they say, well, this is a Hyundai car, but the software is from Apple?
Oh, that'd be interesting. Here's your new Hyundai autonomous Sonata powered by Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Or with Apple on board or something like that. All right. So in the chat room, Terry from Texas, hi, Terry, is saying 100% would buy the Apple car. 34% if it were from Hyundai.
Okay. Yeah, maybe he's more, as I said, maybe he's more a Ford F-150 Lightning fan. Which, I mean, Texas, big state. So, like, you need a big car.
Well, in the chat room, Terry from Texas is saying Prius Prime.
Okay.
But I can appreciate the assumption that it would be an F-150. Because that is the top-selling car in the United States. So
it is.
There you go.
Indeed. Well, indeed. And it has an insane range as well. So
top-selling
truck. I said, for a big state like Texas, it's the perfect car. So.
Yep. Yeah, there you go. Yep. All right. So the feeling that I'm getting is that people would be more excited about an autonomous car with an Apple logo on it than a Hyundai logo on it, even if it came with Apple technology.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the interesting part of that is just based on the previous rumors we've had, if you were to buy an Apple autonomous car with an Apple logo on it, there's a very high likelihood it would have been made by Hyundai anyhow. So
possible.
Yeah. Anyhow, all right. Well, then next Apple topic. And I'm so glad that we've had all of this great news coming out so that we have stuff to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
This one surprised me because it smacks of Apple bringing back the clone business. Yeah, that's but from The Verge. Apparently, someone at Google has leaked that Google is licensing iPad OS for a new line of Google branded tablets and Chromebooks. And apparently what they're doing is, I guess, like making a new line that's a higher level, like high-end mm-hmm. tablets and high-end Chromebooks. And so instead of running Android OS, these models will be running iPad OS and presumably with Google's own apps pre-installed, but still. Apple's operating system. And then Android OS is still going to be around and still developed, but that's going to be a thing that they use for their lower end tablets and, you know, like the Chromebooks and stuff that are out right now. And then third-party developers will still use Android OS, and it'll still be on smartphones. Hmm.
I mean, this is really interesting because what it tells me is, I mean, just think about it. How bad must Android OS on a tablet be that Google would consider iPad OS, which isn't the greatest, like on the planet? Like it's okay, but like it doesn't really do anything with the iPad. Like if Google was considering that, because I mean, they're still not getting the M1. It's not an iPad. It's just the operating system. So like, how bad must the world be on their side? And like, how stuck must they be that they're giving up on their tablet business?
Not completely giving up on their tablet business because they're still going to make Chromebooks with Android OS. But they're going to have this new premium line that runs iPad mm-hmm. OS. But yeah. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Cal.
I think you've absolutely hit the nail on the head. How terrible must Android OS be? We get the odd Android device in, and it's absolutely no comparison, even the more expensive ones. So, fairly embarrassing for Google, but, the right sort of move in the end for them, really.
Mm-hmm.
I think this, I mean, this has got to be good for Apple because it will put Apple quality at some level of the device in the hands of people. And I think they will suddenly realize what they've been missing all this time and eventually just move over completely and leave Google behind.
Yeah. And don't forget, you get all the Apple services as well, which, I mean, you know, is something that Apple is very much looking into, like increasing their service revenue, like more people on, let's say, even if it's not hardware-wise, Apple's operating systems, it's at least software-wise, means more eyes for Apple Music, for Apple TV Plus, for iCloud, for all those services. And I'm assuming that you still get them, I mean, even if Google puts their stuff on it.
That seems reasonable. And you're hitting on something that's actually a concern for me. It's that these Google devices, they would have access to all of Apple's services.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Apple still likes to think of itself as a hardware company, but does this mean that they are starting to see themselves more as a services company that sells devices to keep people in their services platform? And if that's the case, are we going to see Apple opening up their operating systems to more device makers in an effort just to get more people into their services platform at the expense of the devices that they're making themselves?
I think that's an excellent point. I think, why couldn't we see further down the line you being able to install Mac OS on a Dell or iPhone or iOS on a Google phone or something like that? You know, this could just be the beginning of them getting as many people as they can straight into the, you know, straight into Apple services and buying stuff straight from them.
But Jeff, your comment about the Apple's the services part, I think, is interesting. I mean, I wonder, we haven't seen the details on what the licensing agreement looks like. And if Apple were to stay consistent with what it does for the App Store, I wonder if they could be charging 30% of what, say, a Chromebook sells for or any other Google device, just picking up their 30% that way with the idea that you will get all those Apple services they would make their money. Google would still be able to say it makes a device, and the customer would get access to both the superior Apple services and Apple produced materials.
Yes, and I agree with you. And that's part of what bothers me, because if Apple is at a point where they see where they can be making far more money from services than anything else, are they pivoting to be becoming a services first company, and all of the devices that they're making are now secondary to that? And if that's the case, that to me, that means fewer iPads coming out, not as many interesting new features, and maybe the iPhone still sells really well, and since iOS won't be on Android smartphones, I mean, you still have the iPhone as a big seller, but not yet. But
Jeff, go back, with all due respect to the folks from Power Computing and all the other clone makers back in the day. You know, let's face it. I mean, Apple still, the Apple hardware was the Cadillac. Mm-hmm. You know, the others were, I mean, I'm sorry. They looked cheap. They felt cheap. There was no significant design aesthetic. You know, mm-hmm. they were basically PC looking boxes that ran Mac OS, which mm-hmm. automatically put them ahead of the PC boxes. But, you know, at the end of the day, there was still a market. Just like, I mean, we always look at the car analogy, but just like in cars, you know, there's a place for, you know, the low-end cars, but there's always going to be a place for the high-end cars. And so I hear what you're saying, and I think it's a legitimate concern, but I don't think it'll come to pass.
Yeah, maybe. It just concerns me. It's... I mean, doing the whole clone thing back when Apple did that with the Macs, that didn't work out. And then the way that Apple just pulled the rug out from under the clone makers, I mean, that left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. Now, granted, the people that are buying devices today, generally speaking, have no idea about that part of Apple's history. And so that wouldn't be a big thing for them, but there's enough of us out there that can talk loudly enough that I could see where this could make some bad optics for Apple.
But we have it's a different time, obviously. But we also have different management at Apple now and we have all the social media, like you said, with the optics. I mean, the optics back then were pretty much for the enthusiast the Apple enthusiasts, and you know, nobody else really paid much attention. Now everybody's paying attention to everything, you know, right down to people getting slapped at the Oscars, so, and passing mm-hmm. judgment on it. So I think things maybe wouldn't here. I think you'd have to think a lot harder about doing something like that, and doing it maybe a bit more gradually.
Yeah, I can see that. And Magic Man's making a good point in the chat room. Magic Man says, so Apple becomes the tech hire services company for the 21st century. And that, if that were true, I mean, that could be a very lucrative market for Apple. But Chuck, between you and Magic Man, you're really shooting a lot of holes in my concerns about Apple licensing iPad OS to Google.
We just want you to feel warm and fuzzy, Jeff.
I do appreciate that. And, you know, and I can see where this could potentially help with antitrust issues in the US and in EU. But the other side of that is, if enough companies start selling devices with iPad OS on them, does that create a situation where Apple is now more susceptible to monopoly and antitrust investigations?
Magic Man is saying, oh, I love a warm and fuzzy Jeff.
A lot of people do, and thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Don't we all?
Yep.
You know what's also warm and fuzzy?
I do.
TSO host?
They are. Yeah. I would have been like, just like that on the answer, but I was about to take a drink of my tea and I had to set it down. No. Yes, it's true. TSO host is Warm and Fuzzy. And that's because they sponsor us and they're giving us the bandwidth and the server space we need to bring shows to you every single week. And that's just absolutely awesome because without them, we would not be here. And I mean, if you enjoy tuning in live and watching the show and being part of the chat room, well, we have TSO host to thank for that because that bandwidth is coming from them. And if you like to watch or listen later on at your leisure, well, we thank them for that too, because they're giving us the server space we need to host the site and our files. So they're absolutely awesome for that. Now, what they're asking of us is that we head on over to social media and give them a shout out. Let them know that we appreciate that TSO host is here supporting the British American Tech Network. See, I've said it so long that it's like muscle memory. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let TSO hosts know on social media that you appreciate that they are here supporting the American Tech Network. And it only takes a minute and it's super easy to do. And everyone loves a little validation, you know, like everyone loves a Warm and Fuzzy Jeff. How about a Warm and Fuzzy TSO host too? And if you need to get hosting services or domains, then hit them up for that. Use a discount code BTN20. They haven't changed it yet. So BTN20, and that'll get you a discount on the services that they offer. And we are also sponsored by Iman Max, which is great because that gives us that extra little international flair for the show. And what we love about Iman Max, in addition to the fact that they bring us Callum every single week, is that they fix your Apple gear right. So instead instead of throwing out your logic board and putting a new one in and saying they fixed the problem, they will fix the part that's broken. So, you know, let's say you have a capacitor that pops and that's a showstopper right there, but it's an easy fix. And Callum and his team of minions can make that happen. And now you get your device back instead of getting your shell with a new logic board. And you know, if that happens on a Mac and you're using, say, Adobe Creative Suite, and you forgot to deactivate your license on your Mac and you get it back with a new logic board, you're kind of screwed because your Creative Cloud license is actually locked to the serial number on your logic board. So this is a great way to avoid that. Let Iman Max take care of your stuff. They also will sell you Apple gear. They do leases. They can do data recovery. And they're just generally all around awesome. And Callum, do you have a machine of the week for us?
I do this week. So we've got... let me just think. We've got a couple of iMacs in still. So we've got a 2015 iMac in and we've got a 2013. They've just come in this week. They're all prepped and ready to go. We've all got SSDs, come with 6-month warranty. So if you head over to Buy My Apple, everything that we have to sell is on there. Obviously, we don't do shipping to the US, so that's going to cut out a large part of our listenership. But for those few Brits that still like to listen, use the code BTN. At checkout and you'll get 5%.
The important question for me is, do you have the 2023 Mac Pro? Because that's what I want.
I tell you what, we do have coming next week though for one of our customers, which is a bit exciting. We do have a Mac Studio coming.
Okay.
So we're gonna get to play with one of those, which is good. I mean, that's not fun. Play, transfer data and do everything very, very professional. we will.
Right, right.
Oh, we will play. Get the chance to have a quick look at one. Yeah,
yeah, you'll be playing.
Yep, yep.
Tell him in his toys.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And one of these days, I'll be able to come over and visit you at our satellite office and or wherever, and we'll live stream you replacing the battery in my iPad, and then we'll go out for drinks, and it will be awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, Magic Man in the chat is saying we should, like, they should start a USA franchise, and I totally agree. I totally agree. I mean, now that we've done the transition from BT into ATN, I think, like, it's time we can help you with that.
I think this is a great idea. I am so on board. Yep.
Very on board.
Yep. Callum, just so you know, when we do our live stream, we will be live streaming a hug.
Oh.
Fair enough.
Yep.
And you'll hold it just a smidge too long.
That's right.
Whatever floats your boat, Jeff. No worries.
Yeah, it's going to be epic and wonderful and an international incident. Yeah. Wow. Patrice, where can people find the chat room?
Well, it has slightly changed, but kind of not really. It's still the same. If you want to join the chat room, like the good people right now have been doing during the live stream, you can head over to chat.americantechnetwork.com and talk to us. Like, I see Terry from Texas in there. I see Magic Man. We see some Chuck guy. I don't know who that is. Callum O'Hara is in there. Dave is in there. Like, we have quite a few interesting people in there. If you want to do that, join us like every week live. The calendar is on our website. But let's say you're listening to this after the fact in your favorite podcast player, and you still want to get to like all the awesome stuff that we've talked about, the chat, the links, and the cool things that are coming up, then you can head over to americantechnetwork.com/chat. And then there's a little calendar, and you hit the April 1st, 2022, button on that calendar. I don't know what I said. Just select April 1st, 2022. And then you will find everything we've talked about.
Awesome. Thank you for having my back on the chat room every week, Patrice.
You're welcome.
And you mentioned cool things. So yes, mm-hmm. It is time for the cool things. Chuck, what do you have for us?
Well, unfortunately, it looks like the news was broken a little too early, so I have to tell you about it rather than give you a link, so I apologize. I don't know if you guys know it, but Cal, you especially are familiar with Peeps, the marshmallow candy for Easter?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody's like that.
As Callum quietly Googles Peeps.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Well, Peeps are made at a factory that is about probably 2.5 hours from me is all. And my company has a business relationship with their company. I've been to the Peeps factory and I have seen the Peeps machine, which is shrouded in mystery. And I'm very serious about that. I mean, you have to go through certain background checks to be admitted to see the Peep machine. And now they've announced a partnership with Green Giant that they will be bringing out cauliflower Peeps. And I'm very anxious to see how this works, because knowing that marshmallow is pretty easy to work with and cauliflower is not, I'm anxious to go back and see the Peep machine generating cauliflower Peeps. And so that's where the technology angle is. Otherwise, people are saying, what are you doing with this? But because I believe there's a Macintosh running the Peep machine.
Oh, probably in a Mac Studio.
Well, I'm sure they will be upgrading so they can make more Peeps. And it may be a whole proprietary thing that they've had to bring a Mac Studio on to make cauliflower Peeps. So stay tuned.
It's 10 chicks to a box.
As someone who cannot eat broccoli, cauliflower, or Brussels sprouts, this just sounds atrociously horrible to me. But when I try and keep an open mind, and I really do try and keep an open mind, I can see where for people who have vegan diets, this would be great, because now they can have Peeps.
Mm-hmm. I've never met a Peep I didn't like.
It's well.
I've just never met him.
So happy for you.
There's a picture for everybody's mind.
Yes.
There you go.
All right, Patrice, what do you have for us?
So a lot of you have gotten new Apple devices, and especially the let's say lower consumer tiers, but like even for people like us, there are never enough ports. And I mean, there have been like solutions like the Crown Digit TS 3 Plus and now the 4 docks and the OWC dock and so on. But there is a new dock that I got that is really awesome. Solves all the port problems, like all of them. You simply do not need more ports. I don't think it is humanly possible. It is the OWC Gargantuan dock. It has 80 ports. It has 16 of the next generation Thunderbolt X port. It has 4 VR ports. It has one HoloVidi, holographic AI port, whatever that is, I don't know. It has 4 display port, 16K ports. So you can connect 4 16K screens, which is unprecedented. Nobody has that. It has 10 HDMI 8K ports. So in total, you can connect 14 displays, massive displays. It has 12 USB-C ports. It has 26 USB-A ports. It has 2 10 gigabit Ethernet ports. And then like some card slots because, I don't know, because you need them. I don't know. I don't need card slots. I don't know. Like, I don't think anybody needs more ports than that.
You know, on one hand, this is way more than I need. And on the other hand, it's what I need. I would seriously be able to get rid of the, what do I have? Here's a dock with multiple ports on it. USB 3 hub, USB 3 hub, USB 3 hub. What is that? 3 different USB 3 hubs running, plus a dock, and then plus other stuff connected directly into my Mac. And this would turn me into truly a one cable into my Mac thing.
Yeah. And it has a 1000 watt power supply. So like no matter how big your CPU gets, like not a problem. I think 1000 watts is enough. The only slight downside, I got a review unit, so it's fine. But they're having some supply chain issues because of the unobtainium chipsets that they're using. So they're saying it might arrive sometime April 31st, 2028. So a little while still. And it's not exactly cheap, like $4,999. So $5,000
for what you get.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I mean, this is the dock you buy, and then you never need to buy a dock and anything at all anymore. Like, solves it all.
That's awesome. Magic Man is saying it'll heat your whole house as well at the same time.
Probably. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With 1000 watt power supply, though, it might even be able to charge your EV.
Very slowly, but yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Awesome. Love it. Cal, what do you have for us this week?
Yeah, so my pick this week, it's actually pretty much an extension to the services that we already offer. So if you're a regular listener to the show, you'll realize that we have a lot of limbs floating about, and you know, the odd head, the odd arm, you know, the odd torso, the odd leg, and now what we're offering as well, and this is because one of our suppliers is now offering it to us, we can do blood transfusions or replacements. So one of our suppliers, which is ReplaceBase, they're offering blood for humans, which is excellent. So we can now not only replace limbs, change limbs, you know, if you want a limb upgrade, we can also
I need one of those.
Yeah, exactly. You know, obviously, it's a bit more difficult. You'd have to post yourself to us.
not a problem.
We can do now a full blood replacement, or you know, just a half replacement. And excellent that we can now get that and offer it to our customers. So really, really pleased.
Very nice.
Awesome. So next time I'm in the UK, not only am I getting a new battery, but I'm getting new blood.
Absolutely. And new arm as well if you want. Well, yeah.
Might be time for one.
So right. You can hug them even better.
That's absolutely right. That's right. Awesome.
That's right.
All right, Dave, what do you have for us?
Well, I've got Elgato just came out with this really cool device. When you want to go retro, it's the Elgato Cam Link Retro. And you know, all of us want to have webcams with a Hi8 or Super 8 or even older analog cameras to be able to plug this into USB in your Mac and be able to just have this retro video, because it's, you know, nobody wants to have 4K anymore. We want to have the retro look, and you're squinting and looking. It is in. You know, it's fuzzy and blurry, and you got to squint. But you know it. But I think this is worth it. This is a great adapter. And all you got to do is plug in your RCA connectors, and you go. And it's a great connector. It is the best part. You got your yellow video, and you got your red and blue audio. That's all you need.
That is fantastic.
Red and white. Excuse me. Red and white blue. Audio.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely awesome. And you know, I could see doing some really cool artistic video stuff with this. Also being able to dig out the old what were those mini tapes for video? Because that's the camera that
VHSC.
I yeah, just those little mini cassette video.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's yeah,
they were 8mm, I think.
Yes, eight. Yes, and you know, on the camera, still,
I still have one in my closet.
Yeah, and I've got to dig mine out and get this, and now, that is awesome.
And I mean, the big plus is you also get the like 4:3 aspect ratio. Like we're all used to 16:9 these days. Yeah, and, like you get the awesome 16:9. Yeah, it's too much space. Like, I mean, it's like, look at this, all of this space here to my side. I don't need that.
That is very cool.
I've almost thought that, yeah.
Magic Mad in the chat said Betamax. Yeah, got to have a beta.
Yeah, could
you could totally hook Betamax to this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. All right. My cool thing is the new TV for Apple TV from 12 South. And as soon as they announced this, I was like, in Instabuy. So what it is it's like a little block that has a TV screen on the front and like a toaster slot sort of thing on the top. And you drop your Apple TV into that slot on the top. And now you have a self-contained Apple TV television set up, and it has speakers built in, and you can pair it with your HomePods as well. And so you have this great little screen with high quality resolution and great audio, and it can just fit on your desk or on the shelf or on the nightstand. And I mean, this thing is just really nice. So the back of it is also at an angle, so you can set it flat or tip it back on the angle and have it like pointing up at you. And it's really, I mean, I'm really liking this, and I hadn't thought about having a small television around where I could do, you know, just watch stuff while I'm doing other things, but I see this and I'm like, in. So it is, I suppose, for some people a little pricey. It's $499.99, but you know, considering the speakers and the quality of the screen, you know, it's actually not that bad for what it is.
If you go retro, I'd rather go retro. I can go with one of those Sony Watchmen. You know, remember the handheld one of the
small 2-inch screen. Oh my God, those are so cool.
Yeah, I had one of those.
Yeah, so cool.
The AirPods look so good sitting beside this. I mean, I think that's that was sort of the selling point for me.
Yeah.
Order.
I mean, but seriously, I mean, instant order. As soon as I saw this, I mean, I was in all the way. So, yeah, the TV for Apple TV from 12 South. All right. Excuse me. So, Chuck, where can people find you?
You can find me at macvoices.com. That's where we talk to a lot of interesting people. This week, we did a Mac Voices Live that involved a number of different things, including some cord cutting tips, from some members of this very panel. And also, as we are discussing this, I had a conversation with Adam Angst about some surprising ways to think about maps. And some apps, he uses maps quite a bit differently than I do, because he's a runner and I'm a golfer. So, you know, what are you going to do? But it's very interesting. He brought up some things that I really hadn't thought about, and some tips on how you can do them too. Mac Voices Live is done Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Dave and Jeff were kind enough to fill in for me this week because I was doing some business travel. I will be doing more travel again next week. So they are, I've agreed to try to fill in as well. And on the socials, I'm at Chuck Joyner. Thanks, Jeff, and congratulations on the American Tech Network.
Well, thank you, and thanks for being here. You rock. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, very soon, writing software for autonomous cars. But usually every week here on the Mac Show on American Tech Network every Friday, and also on the Big Show where we talk about non-Apple tech on the American Tech Network every Thursday. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the projects, if you want to buy me a coffee, if you want to support the American Tech Network, all of that on thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to like really interesting people, Americans and some like Brits as well, talk, and some people from other countries, talk about like their food related memories and stories and just everything that goes with that, then you should head over to Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com, where I have an interview show up.
And it's awesome. So if you're someone that eats at any point, then you should check out Foodie Flashback because it's really cool stories. It's a fun show.
Yep.
All right. And Patrice, thank you again for all the hard work you put in to helping us make the migration from British Tech Network to American Tech Network happen. You rock.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Callum, where can people find you?
You can find us and everything we do at imamax.com, on all the usual socials at imamax. I'm on Twitter at O'Hara Callum. I'm also in the Slack room as well. You'll see me again, hopefully next week, on the British Tech Network. That's what it will always be.
You know, bless your heart. And and I can appreciate your nostalgia. And it's great to have you here on our network. You rock.
He's just so sentimental.
Oh, yes. I get it. I mean, we have a lot of happy memories.
Even that was stubborn, but yeah.
And those happy memories are still valid and awesome. And we have a wonderful legacy that we are going to honor as we move forward.
Yeah. So everybody, not just Jeff, give Cal a hug.
That's right. As long as it's consensual.
Absolutely.
Yep. Dave, where can people find you?
You can find me at InTouchOfIOS, InTouchOfIOS.com. You also could buy me a coffee too, support the show. It's the link is on that website. My YouTube channel is youtube.com/DaveG65. I'm on Mac Voices Live every Tuesday night, as Chuck mentioned, here on the Mac Show. And I'm on Twitter at DaveG65. And congratulations on this new venture in the American Tech Network.
Oh, thanks. And I appreciate you being here and being part of it, just like I appreciate everyone else being here. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I am Jay Gamet on both. YouTube.com/JayGamet for my videos, Tuesday evenings, most of them on Mac Voices Live with Chuck and with Dave. And then Thursdays on the Big Show, Thursday evenings, at least most of them, on In Touch with iOS with Dave, because he keeps letting me come back here.
Love having you.
Well, thank you. And on Fridays on here on the big, no, what is this? This one's the Mac Show. and then Brian Chaffin and I have teamed up and we have the Context Machine. So check that out as well. This week's episode, we talk about being writers and our experiences writing, becoming a better writer, how to get published, And it was a really fun discussion. Hey, thank you to all of you for being such an awesome panel and being such amazing people and making my Friday morning so much fun every single week. You are all awesome. For all of you that are here in the chat room with us live, well, and just watching live, even if you're not in the chat room, thank you for being here as well. All of you are awesome, and it's great to have you in the American Tech Network family. For those of you that watch or listen later, thanks for being part of this too. You all rock. And thank you to TSL Host for being our sponsor. Give them a shout out on social media and let them know that you appreciate that they're sponsoring the network. And thank you to IMN Max for being a sponsor as well. Take your stuff in to them to get fixed or just buy stuff from them because they're that awesome. And Yeah. Thanks again to everyone. Don't forget to tune in next week for the Big Show and the Max Show again. And everyone have an awesome weekend.